We are back in one, John, today. And, you know, I was thinking about it. The arrival of a dog in our house has changed many things. It has changed also our TV viewing. We now watch a lot of doggy programmes. And usually these doggy programmes are around the similar sort of theme of, you know, badly behaved dogs and some sort of amazing dog whisperer kind of handler comes in and transforms the dog, usually the owner as well. And it is amazing to see what they can do in these shows. And often what they are doing when they come in is they're showing the owner the possibility. They're showing the owner a vision of what could be as they take control and show them how their dog could behave with kind of proper ownership often. But I was watching that programme and it was making, as I was watching it the other day, I was just thinking to myself, you know, so much of our lives are focused around a vision of transformation. You know, we love transformation, whether it's a badly behaved dog suddenly being able to behave, whether it's a room in the house that we want to change, whether it's something about ourselves or some other situation. When you stop and think about it, a lot of our time is actually focused on transformation. You know, maybe like me, you're sitting, looking out at your garden just now thinking, what am I going to do in my garden this summer? If you're like me, you're sitting thinking, it'd be nice to have some grass instead of moss. And then you realise, actually, it's not worth it. If you know anything about female dogs, they destroy your grass. So I'm just gonna leave it as it is. But maybe you're sitting right now thinking, we're moving into spring, I'm going to do this. You've got a vision of transformation for something in your life. Right now, we have a vision of transformation of our lives from, you know, Jonah grows to Land's End. We're looking for some change. You know, lockdown, we're seeing the numbers coming down, people are getting vaccinated, you know, our leaders, our scientists are talking about transformation, although what is strange about it is we're not talking about something new that we're wanting to see transform. We almost want to be transformed back to the normal, back to where we were. But one of the key practices in all our lives is thinking about change, thinking about transformation, you know, looking for change, making change. We get excited about transformation. Now, of course, you'll be able to see where this is going, because a vision of transformation is right at the heart of the Christian faith. Jesus transforms our lives. And we'll see in this text today that Jesus transforms our identity, who we are, and he transforms our character, what we do. So we're going to get into our text and we're going to see the transformation that God has for our lives today. We're back, as I said, in 1 John. We're back in this series we've called Bedrock, Back to Basics. The text we're reading in today, I should say right now, three of the verses I have highlighted in my Bible, they just make my heart jump with joy and thanks and excitement. They're verses I've gone back to many times in my life. So it's a real joy that we will share from them for us today. So we're in 1 John. We're going to be reading 1 John chapter 2, verse 28 to chapter 3, verse 10. And let us hear now from God's word. And now, dear children, continue in him, so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him. See what great love, this is the first one highlighted. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, we are now children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. It's the second sentence I've got highlighted in my Bible. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves, just as he is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. This is the third verse I've got highlighted. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins. And in him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin, because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning because they have been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child, nor is anyone who does not love their brother and sister. Let's pray together. Father God, as we come into your word now, we're hungry to hear from you. We need that heavenly food of your word in our souls today. I pray for each person now as they prepare to hear your word, that you would just push distractions away. You would enable them, although this is still a very strange way of me in the church office, folk listening in, that wouldn't matter, that your spirit would just work and speak into each of our lives today. Holy Spirit, do please take these words, speak now for your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. Quick reminder, John is writing to a church family that is facing struggles, it's facing challenges, false teaching that's been going about. Rory reminded us last week about one of the things that they were having to be careful of, one of the things we have to be careful of is not being deceived. But it's also important that we remember that John is writing to encourage. He's writing to bring in assurance. He's writing to say to them, you know, keep going, keep holding on to what you know is true. And sometimes, as we'll see today, he does this through pointing out a negative so as to encourage actually the opposite. So we've read there, anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child. Now, the danger, we read this and we panic and we think, I did something wrong today. Does this not mean I'm a child of God? Well, as we'll see in a moment, John's already affirmed that if we believe in Jesus as our Lord and Saviour, then we are God's children. But what he's saying is, you know, God's children seek to do what is right because you're God's child. Seek to do what is right. But in this section of scripture, God has a vision of transformation for your life, for your identity and your character. Firstly, Jesus changes our identity. And the first thing we see is we are reborn. Yeah, chapter 2, verse 29, born of him. Chapter 3, verse 9, born of God. Remember Nicodemus, that religious leader, he comes to see Jesus in John 3. He comes late at night and he comes with questions. This is a man seeking, he's trying to understand what's happening. Who is Jesus? And Jesus says to him, you must be born again. It means as it sounds, it means rebirth. Is there a stronger picture of transformation than this? You've heard me speak before about metamorphosis, you know, a caterpillar changing to become a butterfly. Its being stays the same, but it goes through a complete change. And this is what Jesus does in our life. You know, Titus 3, verse 5, Paul writes, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. When we repent, when we turn to God, when we say sorry for what we've done, when we thank Jesus for dying on the cross to deal with our sins, when we ask the Holy Spirit to come into our life and fill us, then it's new life. You know, when you come to faith in Jesus Christ, you start a new life. You are reborn. You know, think about this last year. We have lived through a time of great uncertainty, and we've still got a way to go. But there is great assurance in these words today. You have new life in Jesus. You've been reborn. The old is gone. The new has come. We are a new creation. Is that how you see yourself today? You should, because that is how God sees you today. The second thing we see is that we are renamed. We get a new identity. What is this new identity? Chapter 3, verse 1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And this is what we are. You know what? Write this verse down. Put it somewhere. Let it sink into your soul this weekend. It is one of my life verses. I go back to over and over again. If you're feeling insecure, if you're wondering, does God love me? If you're sitting thinking, I'm mucked up this week, does that disqualify me from God's love? Then this verse is about security. It's about assurance. We see two amazing things in verse 1. What does the Father God call us? His children. What is our new identity? We are just that. We are children of God. You know, as we go through this world, and you've heard me speaking this before, the world can put labels on us to try and describe us. We can put labels on ourselves that are not always nice, not always true. But today, if you believe in Jesus, then the most important identity sticker that is on you is that you are a child of God. You're loved by the Father. You're free from sin through His Son, Jesus Christ. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. No, this statement, this is who we are. It's kind of like a legal stamp. When the girls were born, I went to register their births two different occasions. And you know, Maura and I had named them, and we went and I registered their births, and you know, and we gave them their name, and it's like a legal stamp. This is your birth certificate now. And that's what this is, like that phrase here captures. This is legal. This is the stamp on your life today. God the Father is saying to you, I love you. I love you. You're mine. I have lavished you with love. This is transformation. Once I was apart from God, doing my own thing, living my own way, but now I am a child of God. You know, as a child of God, I was thinking about this. As a child of God, our self-awareness is neither inferior or superior. It can never be inferior. Why? Because we're called God's child. That is not a statement of inferiority. But neither can it be something that makes us feel superior, because of what Paul said in that verse in Titus. It's not because of anything we've done. It's all because of His mercy. It's all because of us being, you know, reborn, you know, washed clean through the Holy Spirit renewing us in our life. You know, it's all about everything God has done. But we should never feel inferior as children of God. Now, John is quick to point out, though, isn't he, there in chapter 3, verse 1, that the world, there's that phrase again. Remember, we've talked about how that's a kind of world view that's led by the devil. You know, the world will not get you because it didn't get Jesus. But this is a vision of transformation that God sees in your life. Reborn. You know, Colossians 1:13. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves. Renamed, child of God. But John goes further and he refocuses our future. There is an even greater vision of transformation in these texts. Verse 2 there, we see he reiterates that phrase, children of God. And what will be has not yet been made known. Okay, something is still going to happen. Then we read, but we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. You know, when Christ appears, and we've already seen this in chapter 2, verse 28, John spoke about the second coming. When He appears at His coming, we shall be like him. Now, that just about every child, as they're growing up through school, at least at one point, you have to draw a portrait of yourself. And I can remember one point having to draw a portrait of who I wanted to be in the future. And it wasn't that great. I can't remember what I drew, but it certainly made my future out to look very scary. And but, you know, as we think about that verse there, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Who you are today, who I am today, is not who I will be in the future. I'm a work in process. And the excitement of these verses, it is just off the chart. Who I will be in the future is like Jesus. I will see Jesus. See, that just amazes me. That just amazes me. I just can't imagine it. I will meet Jesus one day. And I will be totally, totally transformed. You know, think what it will be like to worship Jesus from that place of being perfect like him. That just fuels my life with hope, with strength. It drives me today, though, to be like him as much as I can be today, because I know I'm going to meet him one day. But what does this verse also say to us about identity? Well, think back to verse 28. You know, John says there about how we can be confident and unashamed when he comes. Why is this? Because we are his. I can remember, and probably maybe you can remember, you've maybe gone to some sort of a show that your child or your nephew or niece or your grandchild's been in. I can remember going to see some of the girls' dance shows. Remember those days when we used to go to shows? They will come back. And I can remember, frankly, if I'm honest, being bored. I was only really waiting for my own girls to come on. And maybe you can relate to that, waiting for your own grandchild or nieces or nephews, whatever, to come on. I was looking for my own to come on. When they came on, I was super excited. You know, when Jesus comes, he will be looking for his own. And that is amazing in our lives. You know, God's vision for transformation in your life, it evolves your identity. You're reborn. You get new life in Jesus. You've got a new name. You're renamed child of God. He refocuses your future. You will be like him. And I just want to encourage you today, because remember, John's writing to affirm and bring encouragement. Let this bring security. Let this bring hope. Let this bring assurance into your life today. You know, maybe someone said something horrible to you this week and you feel rubbish about yourself. Maybe you've mucked up and you feel rubbish about yourself. Maybe, I don't know, maybe just your self-worth and self-esteem is just low just now because of everything that's going on and all that we're going through. Get that verse, 1 John 3, 1, in your heart, in your mind, and just let it strengthen you. Get that verse, you're going to meet Jesus one day. Just reflect on that this weekend. Let your identity in Christ grow strong this week ahead. Verse 3, we read, all who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. This in many ways is a bit of a verse that transitions us from who we are, identity, to what we do, character, because our characters are being transformed. John is not just writing to say, here is who you are. He's writing to say, because of who you are, this should shape, this should influence, this should drive your life forward to live more like Jesus. Look at some of the verses. Chapter 2, verse 28, continue in him. That's that key expression that we've got in 1 John about abiding. Verse 29, live a righteous life. Chapter 3, verse 3, purify yourselves. Verse 4, avoid lawless living. Avoid living against in confrontation to God. Verse 6, don't sin. Verse 7, don't be led astray. You know, John has got a lot to say in the next section that we're coming on to about sin. But again, remember the context. Remember back to our introduction, that belief of Gnosticism that's sweeping through the church. Part of that was that it didn't matter what you did with your body. You could sin as much as you want. It didn't matter, because all that mattered was your soul. That separation from physical action and what you feel inside. There was also teaching going around that actually the more you sinned, the more God's grace was being shown to you. And so John's very aware that, people are being very casual, and there's a lot of casual teaching about sin and not worrying about the sin in your life. But we see in these verses a measuring up between our enemy, the devil, the first time that John actually names our enemy, the devil, and our victor, Jesus. And we see there is no comparison, actually, or no competition to be had. But when John speaks about sin, he talks about lawlessness, which is rebellion, which is a rejection of God's best in our life. He identifies, which we see in verse 6, that this is a struggle in our lives. He talks about, you know, do not continue in sin in verse 6. Think about how that contrasts to chapter 2, verse 28, where he talks about us continuing in him. And what John is getting at in these verses is choose God's way for your life. You're a child of God. Follow him, not the way of evil. Our great enemy is identified here by John. You know, the devil who's been sinning from the beginning, always against God. And John talks about those who are children of the devil. That sounds like a horror movie when I read that. I think, what's John going on about? But at its root, it comes back to this whole issue of identity, this whole issue of character. You know, are we a child of God, or are we like the devil, against God? And verse 10, we see that one of the marks of the child of God is that we're trying to live like Jesus, and one of them is loving each other, others. You know, this is hard what John is saying here, but remember the context. And I think he's got in his mind this kind of habitual sin that he was seeing in people's lives that they didn't really seem to care about, and he's speaking into that. But let's be honest, we all stumble. We fall at times. And, you know, but we read later on in John 4, in this text, John 4, verse 4, that he's talking again about the Antichrist, all that stands against Jesus. And he says this: you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. You know, I will never be perfect till that day that I see Jesus face to face. But that does not mean that I don't strive to be holy, that I don't strive for purity. That doesn't mean I can't know victory in my life over sin, habits, and thoughts. Why? Because he that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. And I can say this with confidence this morning. Why? Well, let's look at what John writes in these verses. Verse 5. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins, and in him is no sin. John is saying here, Jesus is perfect. Remember, David was speaking about this a few weeks ago. Jesus is the perfect sacrifice for our sins. Verse 8, the reason the Son of God appeared, the reason Jesus came, John is saying, was to destroy the devil's works. Jesus came to smash the work of the devil. That's what he did on the cross and through his resurrection. The one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. If you've got a struggle in your life, maybe a sin pattern, maybe an attitude, and you're thinking, I can't break this, give it to Jesus. Trust in his power to break it in your life. Confess it and give it to him. Now, Jesus is asking, John is asking in these verses as he's writing, and what God is speaking into our lives today is, whose character do you want to reflect? He's saying, God's got a vision for your life, a character that is becoming more and more like Jesus. One day, when you see him, that will be complete. But until that day, be inspired to live for purity, to live to do the right things. You know, I was thinking again about this, and it comes back to that key word that we keep coming back to in 1 John, that continue in him, abide in him. That is what you are doing just now. You have tuned in to a Sunday service because you are wanting to grow more and connect more to God. you know, as you discipline yourself to tune into this week in, week out, that's about you connecting with God, and He'll change and He'll work through your life as you're doing that. You know, during the week ahead, as you resist temptation, as you love others, as you grow in the Word, as you pray, as you're serving, you're becoming more like Him, as you're abiding more in Him. Let me bring this all together for us. God has a vision of transformation for your life. Think about it. We think so much about transformation right at the heart of your life. God has a vision of transformation. And it's about your identity, reborn. That's the radical change that Jesus makes in your life. Renamed, you're a child of God. Refocused on a future where you will be like Him, that inspires you to shape your life more like Him each day just now. A character that's being transformed. You know, Jesus has defeated the devil. And Jesus came to deal with sin, and He's dealt with it. He's dealt with your sin. Don't walk in guilt. Don't walk in shame, because Jesus has dealt with your sin. You know, and the power of Jesus within you will enable you to overcome the sin battles in your life. You know, and if you've lost hope today, please, please just call out to Him. Just give whatever you're struggling with to Him and ask Him to just, through His power, to give you the strength and the guidance and the ability to just break whatever that is in your life. But we know that John is very focused on sin in this text because of the context, but we know that goes further, that character shaping in our lives. It's about being more loving. It's about being more caring. It's about being more compassionate. And we're just saying, you know, shape me to be more like you, Jesus. And we can have that confidence that He can do that in our lives through the power of His Holy Spirit. And also be assured of who you are in Him. And I just want to, as I come to close, that's just where I want to take us. I want to take us back to chapter 3, verse 1. And how great the love the Father has lavished upon us, that we should be called children of God. And that is who we are. You know, as a follower of Jesus, that is your core identity. It's not your job. It's not your sexuality. It's not your hobby. It's not your relationship status. If Jesus is your Lord and Saviour, your core identity is that you are a child of God. And it's all because He has lavished His love onto you. I just want to finish there. And I hope that that just brings you strength and encouragement in your life today. You're a child of God who is loved by God. That changes your identity and it changes your character. And just honestly, this has just been in many ways such a hard time for us, where many of us feel like we've been beaten up and through the mangle a bit through all that's been happening. Just let that be food to your soul today. You're a child of God. God lavishes His love upon you, and that is who you are. And so let us just take a moment to just pray and thank God for that in our lives just now. Father God, we thank You for Your word. And we just quieten our hearts, and we allow, and we think about, and we ponder and we meditate on what You've been saying to us today. Lord, You have a vision of transformation for each of our lives. That involves our identity. We are reborn, renamed, You refocus our future. Father, if we've got a vision of ourselves today that is one of low self-esteem, one where we feel shame, one where we feel guilt, Lord, take this word and just let it change us today. Let us see ourselves as You see us. And we know that it's all because of what You've done for us. We know it's all because of Your love for us that our identity is changed. But Lord, I just get a sense that someone listening to this today is just worn down with how they see themselves. And let them, Lord, let this come like a wave of fresh hope in their life. Lord, let this come like a new sunrise into their soul today, that you have lavished your love upon them and that they are your children. Father, that's our core identity. There are many other things we do in life that are important, an important part of who we are. But as your followers, right at that heart, we're loved by you and we're brought out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you for that. We just thank you for that this morning. And as we come to worship you now, we just want to declare how great you are. You're our wonderful, loving Father. And we praise you for that now. In Jesus' name, amen.
So we pour praise to you, only. Your plans are still to prosper. You have not forgotten us. You're with us in the fire and the flood. You're faithful forever. You're perfect in love. You are sovereign over us. Praise your holy name, Father God. Praise your holy name. Amen.
Well, huge thanks to the band and to yourself, Mark, for leading us this morning in worship and in God's word as well. I want to encourage you to join us tonight at 6:30 p.m. on Zoom for our church prayer time. It's the usual EMBC Zoom details for that.
Thanks, David. And yes, as always, if you're needing help with anything, you can get us on office@eastmainsbc.co.uk or contact any of the pastors. And great to have had you joining and connecting with us today, and enjoy the rest of your day ahead, and bless you in this week ahead too. See you next week.